So goes the story of William Powell, who in 1946 opened the first integrated golf course in the United States. Though he served in World War II, Powell was denied a GI loan to help build his golf course, and so he did it on his own, in between shifts as a security guard at a local steel plant. Powell, who died in 2009, is the subject of a forthcoming short documentary produced by the U.S. Golf Association. His daughter, Renee Powell, joins me. Ms. Powell, welcome to Only a Game.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
And we're also joined by USGA historian Michael Trossel. Welcome back, Mike.
Great to be here.
Michael, Bill Powell worked as a caddy as a child in Ohio, and he founded his high school's golf team. He was also the captain. He was also the coach. He did all the scheduling. But when he came back from World War II, he wasn't welcome on the same courses where he'd played when he was a student. Was his experience representative of the time?
Yeah, I think that's right, Bill. You know, when he went over for World War II and really found that the people over in the UK, over in England, were very welcoming to him, and when he came back to the United States, that was not the case. It was almost like he was fighting, you know, a second war when he had to come back here. So, you know, I think it was certainly a time of pervasive prejudice and racism in the Jim Crow era. So, you know, Bill Powell was taken a little bit aback by that and decided he was going to do it on his own.
Renee, at one point during the Second World War, your father found himself stationed in Scotland, and he found that was a pretty good place to play golf.
Well, you know, anyone who loves the game of golf, and even if it's wartime, I mean, it's got to be, you know, so magnificent in a sense.
And Renee, I think he said, you know, the hospitable manner in which he was treated had a lasting impression on him, and I think the quote was something like, "The kind and humane way I was treated reignited my love for the game." So it actually spurred him on and inspired him to continue to play and found his own course, Clearview.
That's exactly right. And when he came back, he actually thought that things would have changed because he came back as a veteran of a war, back to his country, and then found that on foreign land he was able to play, but in his own land he wasn't able to. And so that did ignite a desire and a passion for him to find a way to be able to do it somehow, some way.
Renee, your father applied for membership on the PGA Tour. He was denied because of his race, but you played on the LPGA Tour from 1967 until 1981. The LPGA never had a Caucasian-only clause, unlike the PGA, but there weren't many other black players. What was that like?
Well, you're right. There was Althea Gibson, who turned professional and played on the tour prior to the time that I went out, about 3 years prior. And although it was very comforting on the tour itself with the players because I had played with them as an amateur, but at the same time, the climate of our country was we were going through a lot of traumatic times. And so there were a lot of very negative experiences that I went through also just to play the game on tour. I mean, from, you know, nasty little threat letters on my life to, you know, to the obscene phone calls to so many different things. I figured that if my dad and mom did it in the 40s, I could certainly do more and better in the 60s.
The Clearview Golf Club, established by your father, was declared a National Historic Site in 2001, and Dr. Jeffrey Sammons, a historian at New York University, had this to say.
Clearview is a classic example of how blacks could demonstrate their competence to build, to operate, to own, to lead. This should be a living monument to Mr. Powell's legacy and stands as proof of what blacks are capable of doing.
Michael, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so, Bill. I mean, it stood as something that celebrated the game. You know, that was a significant accomplishment to build a course like that in that time. And I think we've seen Clearview stand for, you know, so much more than that. It's not just the golf course, but the legacy that's been carried down through the family, the Powell family. It's really been terrific over the years.
People are becoming more aware of it and of its significance, not only to golf, but also to American history. And it has brought more people in. And I think that the exhibit that the United States Golf Association is about to do is really also going to bring more education and more awareness of what my father and my mother did at the time when they did it.
Michael, it's been more than two decades since Tiger Woods' first Masters win, and there are still very few African Americans at the highest levels of professional golf. Would Bill Powell be disappointed by that?
I think Bill Powell would be proud of some of the progress that's been done, but I think we can all agree that there's still a lot that can still be done. I mean, even here at the USGA, you know, one of our main focuses here in the past couple of years has been on accessibility for the game of golf, and that's for women and minorities, and especially African Americans. And this More Than a Game exhibit that Renee just mentioned will be the third exhibit we're doing since 2010 to celebrate minorities in the game. So, you know, I think it's something we all need to be conscious of. Bill Powell would certainly understand why there's not more African Americans playing, but at the same time, you know, we can do a little better.
Michael Trossel is the historian for the USGA. Michael, thank you very much for joining me.
Bill, thank you.
And Renee Powell is the daughter of Bill Powell, and she still runs her dad's golf course in East Canton, Ohio, along with her brother. Renee, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is James Trout. We had help this week from Martin Kessler. Our intern is Zoe Sobel, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. Our final word this week is from the Boston Globe's John Powers. He's covered the Olympics since 1976, but he says he's never witnessed before what he saw on Friday.
It's the first time I've seen palm trees on the way to the main stadium.
And that explains why the songs of Jimmy Buffett are wafting through Sochi. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, whose commission to build a healthier America works to improve health where Americans live, learn, work, and play. Newman's Own Foundation, giving all profits from Newman's Own to charity and pursuing the common good for over 30 years. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. This is NPR.